My times are in thy hand.
My times are in thy hand.
Deliver me from the hand of my enemies.
Deliver me from the hands of my enemies.
And from them that persecute me.
And from them that persecute me. My times are in thy hand. The psalmist says. So deliver me from the hand of my enemies. And from them that what? Persecute me. I know many of you will say, we're just coming out from restoration. And who are persecuting us again? No, Job says, man is born unto trouble. Until you breathe your last breath, if you fail to continue to pray that God delivers you from the hand of your enemies, then the enemies will get you into their hand and make a mincemeat out of you. I said, not until a man dies and he's in the grave. You don't stop praying that God delivers you from the hand of your enemies. Because the enemies are not interested in your life. The enemies are not interested in what God wants to do in your life. The enemies are set. They are sent. They are round about you. My fathers used to say, Lloyd Goodwin, he said, for everyone elect, there'll be 200 non-elect. He said, for everyone elect, there'll be 200 non-elect. He said, for everyone wheat, there'll be 1,000 tares growing around the wheat. What is the purpose? To choke life out of the wheat. But I'm here this morning to bring you these words of encouragement that your times are in the hand of the Lord. Amen. And because your times are in the hand of the Lord, and as you stand faithful, as you stand encouragingly, as you stand in faith, no man can take you out of his hand. Amen. Amen. You see, David was sad. David, most of his life, he was sad. Especially when he was running away from Saul. When Saul was to kill David, David had nothing joyful coming out of him. His life was spent with grief. If you look at the early stages of the book of Psalm, you will see that David was all written about, you know, how his life was grim, how he had been so sad. That's all. And that tells me that from the moment David got anointed, nothing was sweet. I said what? Nothing was sweet. So if you think because you have been anointed, then you think that the heaven will bring you roses, you lie. From the day the anointing oil drops on you, your times begin to clock in the hand of the Lord. And that is when you will know you really have enemies. Because a lot of things will be springing up. Things that you never planned, things that you never hoped for. You will see you've gathered some money. You know, you want to use it to do something meaningful. Of a sudden, something will come and take that money from you. You are planning, oh, I'm going to be in church. Before you know it, somebody, a call has come. You know, you have to be there. Oh, your mother is sick. Your father is sick. This is happening. That is happening. David was a man whose life was sad and whose life was filled with grief. And all these years, David never stopped sighing. You can imagine when we sigh. We don't sigh when things are good. We sigh when things don't work the way we want it to work. America will say, shoo. His sorrow has wasted his strength. And even his bones were consumed within him. That's why he wrote the book of Psalm, asking the Lord in one of his psalms, the Lord, he said, my bones are weakened within me. My bones are crushed. Not that the physical bones were crushed, but that everything in him that gives him strength is gone. Why? Cruel enemies pursue him with malicious craft. Why are they cruel? Because they never stop. Are trying to make sure David's life was short. He doesn't live, fulfill his destiny. Even seeking his life. At such a time, he used the best resources of greed. He said in that same 31, that same Psalm 31, let's look at verse 14. Let's look at verse 14. In verse 14 of that same Psalm 31, let's look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. But I trusted." A man anointed. How come he came up? I mean, he came to a state in his life. He began to reiterate and begin to remind the Lord, "Father, remember I trusted in you." If things were sweet, do you think he would say that? So things must be very sour for him to look up to the heaven and say, "Lord, you know I trusted in you. Please, Lord, do not let me die in the hands of these cruel enemies." Saul seek his life to destroy it, but God never allowed it. "But I trusted in thee, O Lord." He had no other refuge but that which he found in faith. Not in his faith, but in the faith of the Lord his God. Give me Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. His refuge. Psalm 46. In verse 1 and verse 2. David said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in when? In trouble." Give me verse 2. "Wherefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." Now, like I said from the beginning, these are the early stages of his Psalms. Now, if you look at the early stages of David's Psalm, you will know that David was going through something hard. But he never gave up. He never threw in the towel. I said, "God, you know what? I don't even trust you anymore. You said this to me, you are doing this. You said this to me, you are doing this. Who are you, God?" No, he kept on. He said his faith. His faith is not on himself, but his faith is in the Lord his God. Where is our faith this morning? Where is our faith? Do you only have faith and rejoice when things are sweet? No, God wants us to rejoice and be happy even when things are sour. Amen. Even when we don't understand what God is doing. Even when you cannot know why your boss is all over you. Even when you don't understand why that professor or that lecturer is just against you. Just be patient. And begin to pray. Pray like David prayed. "Lord, indeed I put my trust." Probably God felt you are trusting in your strength. Maybe you are trusting because, "Oh, you know, I'm very intelligent. You know, all I need to do is just to read. And when I read, I'm going to pass these exams." And God wants to let you know that it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. So it's going to cause the professor to come against you. And that professor coming against you is not to damn you, but it's for you to know that, get up, look unto God and tell God, "Father, indeed do I put my trust." Scripture says some trust in chariot, some trust in craft, some trust in witchcraft, some trust in the voodoo they serve, but you trust in the Lord your God. Amen. And because David make it, then I also will make it. Amen. If enemies slander him, that is one good thing about David. Is a man that even prays for his enemies. I wish we can do that. I'm not there yet. No. Pray for your enemies? Are you serious? You know that this is the enemy setting the arrow against you. And you're telling me you're going to be praying for that enemy? Oh no, it's going to be "Father, rain fire and brimstone. Father, rain thunder." But David knew, even when men were railing against him, even when Doeg came with an accusation against him, even when Ahithophel took a counsel against him. Guess what? David never rendered railing for railing. Maybe that was why God answered him speedily. Who knows? If they devised to take away his life, he did not meet violence with violence. Even when Saul, when it was in the hand of David to destroy Saul, right there, Saul was lying down in the cave. David just looked and said, far be from me that I should revenge. He said, He went far and he cried, Saul! And Saul got up. He said, calm down, if I wanted to kill you, listen, your archer was with me. I don't want to kill you because your times are not in my hand. Our time is in the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
So plus David minus David, Saul will still destroy himself. So David knew very well not to touch Saul.
Yes.
But this is Saul. The reason why he was in the cave was because he wants to go and kill David.
Mm-hmm.
He was pursuing David. He wants to destroy David. Can you imagine? You know this is an enemy chasing me, right? And I ran into the cave. The enemy ran with me. Are you kidding me? Think about what we will do. No, let's be sincere. Think about what we will do. Oh, I'm even going too far. Just the mere fact that we heard that somebody said this about us. You know how we throw tantrum? And they want to revenge back. We want the whole world to know that. No, you see that thing that person said? Oh, then we want to avenge ourselves. They want to. Is that not what we do? Well, what about we just be like David? And know that, well, Lord, thank you. They rail, I won't rail back. Violence, I won't. They try to kill me, I won't kill back. You know what? My times are in his hand.
Amen.
Can anything actually come to you without God knowing it?
Yes,
you see, David understood that the reason why they need to rail on him, the reason why they need to seek his life to kill, the reason why they need to pursue him, unknown to this man that they only pursued David to his throne. Do you know that the reason why that professor is against you, why that boss is against you, why that customer is just finding fault with you? Do you know that without that customer finding fault railing at you, how do you think many more customers will come? You see, by their speaking evil about your enterprise. Okay, somebody's like, really? Let me go and try it out. And then when they come, they see that is not true. Oh my God, the food is so delicious. Then that person will tell the rabbi, don't listen to him. The food is very good. Better go there. You see, they meant it for evil, but God will use them to become an advertisement for you. So you don't need to go pay News Channel 8 or ABC or CBS, you know, to advertise you.
Amen.
That's exactly what is happening to David. That's why David said, my times are in thy hand. But it's so unfortunate that we, because of our limitation as human beings, you see, even though we read these scriptures, when things begin to go sour, we don't remember them. Then we begin to say, Lord, my will, not your will. That's exactly what we all do. We come to where we say, God, it's my will, not your will. You bite me, I will bite you. You blow me, I will blow you. That is how we do. That is who we are, because that is our nature. But if we will understand that our times are in the hand of the Lord, like David understood that his times are in the hand of the Lord, he refused to kill Saul. No. He refused to kill Doeg. He refused to kill Ahithophel. Every enemy, he refused. He left it in the hand of God. But David firmly trusted in the Lord. David ran hither and everywhere. Enemies also run everywhere, looking for all kinds of net and traps to make David their victim. Hallelujah. I said, they ran hither, trying to set traps and set a net. You see why David now wrote the book of Psalm 37? He said to that very net, Lord, let them what? Fall therein. When I was studying this week, it began to make sense to me. Not a physical net, not a physical trap. But I begin to wonder if God have allowed men to record everything that David went through, for him to write that book of Psalm 37. But I don't even need them to write. Judge from what is happening around you. Look at the nets. Look at the traps. Just to make you a victim. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To make David their victim. But he met all their inventions with the one simple defense of trust in God. The reason why the enemies have not gotten to you yet, the reason why the haters of God have not gotten to you yet, is because you still have a little bit of trust. When your trust starts dwindling, when you don't have trust, then you will know that it's easy for the enemies to get you. Then you will know that the traps they have set, you will fall therein if you are not very careful. So why don't you just trust in the Lord? Because your times are in his hand. He said, lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. The enemies try, they want to make you a victim. The enemies try, they want to set trap for you. But overcome it by trusting in God. Knowing that no demon, no witch, no boss, no lecturer, no friend, nothing can harm you if God have not decreed it.
Amen.
Even when, you know how we feel. You know, they're speaking bad about me. I begin to understand that if enemies don't speak bad about me, how then am I going to grow? How am I going to grow? I need growth. How am I going to be patient? I'm asking God, Father, give me the spirit of patience. Oh, God, give me the spirit of patience. And God is bringing all these trials unknown to me that is to work what? Patience in me. But I begin to fight it. Then I'll be long in that exam. But thank God I have passed my exams. I'm not going to write my exams anymore. I pass them in my dream. I'm praying, God, Father, let me pass it in the physical.
Amen.
I'm tired of writing these dreams. Amen. Now give me Deuteronomy
28 verse 7.
Deuteronomy 28 verse 7. The book of Deuteronomy 28 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 28. Please, if you are there. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Don't tell me the enemies are going to flee before me seven ways when you have not learned to trust in the Lord. When you have not realized the fact that your times are in the hand of the Lord. If God says you are going to die now, who can stop it?
Amen.
And if God says I'm going to bless you right now, nobody can stop it. Jeremiah 3:37 says, who is it that said and it cometh to pass when God hath not decreed it? Who is that power that will come stand against you in your relationship with God and you allowed it? I said, who is that friend that will come to detain your mind from what you have found? Solomon said, when I found my beloved, he said what? He said, I cling unto you. I said, no, I'm not going to let you go. His beloved, that is Jesus Christ. When he found him, he said, no, he becomes what? A hidden treasure. So I've been looking for you, Jesus. Now I found you, I'm not going to let you go. Because I know through you, Jesus, I'm going to be in the kingdom.
Amen.
Because he understood that his times are in the hand of the Lord. So why cry over your problems? Why mourn over your problems? Why get discouraged over your problems? You don't
have to, brother. We don't have to. I said we don't have to.
Do our shield is one. And that is the shield of faith. And you know I'm not going there. You know what I'm quoting? Ephesians 6. Put on what? The shield of faith. Not only to quench
fiery darts
of the enemies, but
it also breaks arrows of steel.
You know the shield. When the enemies are throwing the arrows and you wedge it with shield, what happens? It throws it back. So where is your shield of faith? Where is our shield of faith? Just because a man loses his job does not mean he should commit suicide. If you lose a job, maybe that's God telling you, I need you to come serve me. I need you to trust me that I will provide because you in my hand, not me in.
Amen.
But I've come to realize that, especially in this part of the Western world, many will lose their job and before you know it, their life will go south. That's because you trust that you have been the one in control of your life. Just because you lose a husband or you lose a wife, is that the end of life? Oh, when I went to Zimbabwe last year, I think I came back, I told you all this, the testimony. And this is that just because they lose their first child, then that's it. Never will come to church again. Never will be happy. We not even want to open her legs for the husband. It became a big issue. She deteriorated. But I don't know, you know how God sometimes does his thing. And somehow, somewhere, the bishop's wife was able to persuade her to come. I didn't know all of this. Said, come, you've not met this, you know, this lady. You know her, I know you're like, but she's here. You know, come. I know there are people, they sat together with her husband and she was, you know, putting the shawl, like the shawl I brought back from Kado, big one. She was wrapping it all over her body. And God began to use me to minister. And I began to minister and somewhere, somehow, I don't know how God threw my mind. I said, just because you lost the baby and you think that's it? No, it's because you don't realize who your God is. No, if your God is the same God that we serve, then you should know that it's God that gives, it's God that takes. Somehow I just begin to speak. All I know that somebody was crying. Somebody was weeping. But I never knew that. But I'm so glad that God spoke and a heart perceived. And today, she's in the church. And now I heard she has given birth to a bouncing baby boy.
Amen.
Every man has his what? Appointed time. You see, when her appointed time was come, God led me there. And then I never knew until the text that she sent to the bishop's wife, then she forwarded it to me. He said, look at what you have done, the testimony. So if you are doubting yourself, if God, like you always doubted, look at it now. Take it up. You see, look at it. That's all she was. He said, look at the testimonies. And then the other one that refused her job, you know, she lost her job. At somewhere, I was just touching, you know how I preach sometimes and I'm making references. Now she's selling these drapes. Okay, she even made the drapes for their church now.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow.
I said, Lord, I thank you. Because these are men that are not to call the shield of faith. You see, some of us, our shield, we've let it down. And because we let it down,
guess what?
The very darts of the enemy are just coming towards us. Why don't we take it back? Take back the shield of faith. So that every arrow thrown by the enemies, right, will be waged. Because when you put on the shield of faith, there's nothing the enemies will do that will get to you. You will see it. But because of the shield of faith, you'll be protected. In other words, are they saying something about you in the office? It's all right. Just put on the shield of faith. Your shield of faith, yes, you heard it, but because of the shield of faith, you will not be moved. Are your friends detaching themselves from you? Put on what? The shield of faith. You see it? You notice it, but it's okay. Put on the shield of faith. Your shield of faith is going to give you the victory.
Amen.
Are you looking for something from the Lord? Are you not receiving? Don't give up hope. Put on that shield of faith and say as David said, But in you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Because my times are in thy hand. It's when we begin to feel that we are the creator of ourselves. You know how we play gimmicks. You know, I'm going to do this. You know, when I put it this way, it's going to work out this way. Oh, of course, I know. If not all, many of you, including children, can attest to the fact that, tell me of all the plans. You know, when I get there, I'm going to do them like this. I'm going to give them like this. And even come, you open the Bible, you are saying something else. And then after the message, say, hey, I thought I was going to say it like that. I'm going to do it that way. I'm going to, you know, give it to them this way. Okay, what happened to all the gimmicks? Because you don't understand that your time are in his hand. Now, I'm not saying because my times are in his hand, therefore I'll become a Sheffield Mary. That's not what I'm talking about. While I'm trusting in the Lord that my times are in his hand, at the same time, I'm rising up to put on the shield of faith. Because the devil also knows the fact that, oh, that child of God is beginning to understand and wants to put their trust in God. And that's when the devil also will come against you 20 times. More. Just to make you what? Drop your weapon. Because he knows once you drop that shield, that's it.
Amen.
May we never drop our shield in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Give me Job 34, 29.
Job 34. Let's see.
Job 34 in verse 29, because Job understands that if Jehovah has been made your own by an act of
appropriating
faith, what more can be conceived of?
Who can
look at that.
And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him?
Just look at that. When he gives quietness, he said, who then can what?
Make trouble.
You mean God gave you quietness? And someone is coming to make trouble? Because you trusted in the Lord, watch how God is going to put okra in their path. And that's why David said in Psalm 70, he said, their ways will become what? Slippery. Why is that way slippery? Not the okra Sister Marilyn brought for me today. That's not the okra I'm talking about. Because that I'm going to eat. But I'm talking of spiritual okra. God will put it in their way. And everything about them will be what? Slimy. If God gives quietness, who then can make trouble? When he gives peace, who can give you pieces? The reason why you think God gave you peace and you never had peace is because he never gave you peace. When God gave David peace for 40 years, no war came on him, against him. When God gave Solomon peace for 40 years, no war rose up against him. When God gave Abraham peace for those number of years, no war. Even Job, when God finally gave him peace, the Bible says his latter end was greatly increased. The peace you think you got, is it God that gave it to you? The joy you think you have, is it God that gave it to you? Because if God gives it to you, remember my lesson, the blessings of God make what? Rich and add no sorrow. The success from God is a good success. But the success that comes with sorrow is what? A bad success. Because you can't tell me you have peace. Okay? And you have peace, you have joy. And you're not looking better than what I used to know you. Please. Somebody is deceiving themselves. Either I'm the one deceiving myself, or the devil is the one deceiving themselves. Because when God gives peace, he said, who can make what? Trouble. When he surrounds you with quietness, trouble will come. Don't get me wrong. I said what? Trouble will come. Pain will come. Sickness will come. But because God is involved, it will shake you, but you will not be dead.
Amen.
You will shake it up and what? Move on. Like the devil. Well, let me stop saying the devil. because it's like he's taking glory. Even when I stood on Wednesday, I knew that wasn't me. Only my elder knew, and we went into a warfare. And she went into a warfare, not me. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. But I came on Thursday. I couldn't. My families were like, why don't you just stay at home? Why don't you please go to the hospital? I said, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I came here. No, I couldn't. I couldn't lift up my hand. I said, Lord, my pain all through my back, to my ribs, coming down my chest. I thought I was coming down with maybe bronchitis or, you know, I just preached a lesson on Wednesday, right? I said, when it comes to August, you know, August ending to September early, because of a previous event I went through, so when it's coming to Labor Day, you know, something, I start feeling somehow, and I said the lesson. I said, no, that's ancient gate, and I will break it in Jesus' name. And I finished preaching that night. All right, the ancient gate said, here I am. Did you say you're going to break me? Okay, here is it. You know, this is what happens to you. For over two years, going to 3 years. And I said, no way, not this time, ancient gate. I found a new gate. I found a new door. And the name and the key to that door is called Jesus Key. And because I have Jesus key, I'm not going to let you repeat yourself. Listen, I said, leave you, listen. I already conquered you since December. I buried you. And I told you, you're not going to move with me to 2018. Because 2018 is my year of new beginning. Somebody say year of new beginning. Yeah. Yeah. And if something is new, then I shouldn't bring in what? The old pain. No, no, no. I shouldn't bring in what? The old thought, the old sicknesses, the old way. No, be focused. He kept telling what? Be focused. I keep telling the brethren, when I said, just what? Be focused, because that's what they tell me. Be focused. Then when it started, I said, no, I will defeat you. And I was here lined up. I was crying like a baby. I said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I didn't know what to do. Then I called Pastor Osi. I said, listen, I'm going to the hospital. He said, yes, you go. I said, please tell Tina. I called Tina too. I said, I can't take it again. I'm going to the hospital. I want to defeat this. I went. What about I got to the hospital? I said, this time I'm not going to sleep in the hospital. So I didn't go to Tampa General. I called. Luckily there was space, you know, to see my primary doctor, my primary physician. I got there, he checked me. Nothing. EKG, nothing. But a little bit of abnormality, but they don't know what it is. And then it went through my record again. Then I don't know what they did, what test they did. Oh, of course, again, that same thing. You know, that's an ancient gate, inflammation. I said, the devil is a liar. You remember how last year was worse? I almost felt like I was having, you know, I said, no way! No! Tomorrow is 10, right? I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be joyful. Listen, I said, I'm going to what? In fact, my joy started from today.
Amen.
Because I believe I have broken that ancient gate.
Amen.
You know, there are some people in an accident. When it gets to that particular month that you had that accident, wherever spot you had it, start coming, you know, you start aching. No, ancient gate, break it down. Tell it, no way. I have a new gate. And in that new gate, there is no sickness. In that new gate, there is no pain. In that new gate, there is no poverty. You begin to speak to it, and then you will see it break. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because when God gives quietness, who then can make trouble? Minister Alex, I still don't have it on the screen. Job 34:29. When God gives quietness, no man. We have a song. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. The reason why Jesus says yes is because your times are in his hands. He said you've been engraving, right? In his palm. And no man can pluck you. No, we forget. Every little challenges, we forget that we are engraving in his palm. that no man can pluck me out of this earth. No man can cause me death. No man can cause me pain. That Jesus have not caused me. If Jesus give me his yoke is lighter. Listen, if Jesus gives you yoke, take it. Because his yoke is what? Lighter. He will give you a way of escape. But if the enemy give you yoke, you better start speaking in tongues. Because the yoke of the enemy is heavy. The yoke of the enemy is to snip the life out of you. I said you better start speaking in tongues. That means do more than pray and begin to speak in tongues. Give me Psalm 30 verse 5. You have not the word, but you have the maker of the world. I may not have the world, but I have the creator of the world. And his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Psalm 30 verse 5. There is no measuring the greatness of his treasure. Who had God to be his all in all? You know why? He said, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is what? Life. He said, weeping may endure for a night. Somebody say joy.
Joy.
I can't hear you.
Joy.
Say it like you have it.
Joy.
Say it like you mean it.
Joy.
Angrily say it.
Joy.
Joyfully shout it.
Joy.
Comment in the morning.
Hey.
Amen.
Hey. Joy. Comment in the morning. But there'll be whipping first. And the whipping may endure for a moment. But I'm here to tell you, take hope, take life. Because there's joy.
Amen.
The month of September, I decree to be a month of joy.
Amen.
The month of September, I decree that everything that the locust, the palmer worm, the canker worm have taken from you, God has restored it, but we want it to manifest. And because when there's manifestation, there is joy.
Yes.
You win a lotto, you win a lottery. But you see, if you don't see it, you're not happy, right? But when you want it, and you are the next millionaire, guess what? Joy. Joy. My times are in thy hand. It's an assurance that none can disturb you or pervert you or poison you. That is the assurance. In that hand we rest securely. Not in the hand of the enemies, not in the hand of the Jebusite, not in the hand of the Buddha, not in the hand of the Hare Krishna, but in that hand that belongs to Yahweh. Jehovah is his name. That is the hand we rest assured, because it is a blessed assurance. Where could our interest be so well secured as in the eternal hand? Where will your interest be so secured if not in the hand of the Lord? What a blessing it is to see by the eyes of faith all things that concerns you. What a joy. You begin, you are alive, you are not there. It's not, you know, I wish he or she was alive. But in your own very eye, you are seeing God working wonders in your life. In your own very eyes. Doctor says you're going to die. But in your own very eyes, you will leave. And then you will walk all your children to the altar. And then you will leave. You become a grandmother. Because your times are in his hand. Not in the hand of the doctor. Please don't give me this shit. Excuse my language. Oh, you know, the doctor says they have only 6 months to live. Oh, the doctor says they have 1 year to live. Cry. Bullshit. Doctor, my times are not in your hand. My life are not in your hand.
Amen.
So you can't determine how long I live. If a doctor comes and tells us short of the time, guess what I will do? I will come every time you before the Lord, like Ezekiel.
Father.
In fact, you told me that in my dispensation is 70 years. And you said nothing shall cast forth their young. Lord, where have I sinned? After repenting of my sin, and it still persists, then I'll begin to attack the enemy. Then I'll put on the shield of faith. and that every fairy darts, every arrows, I return back to sender.
But not until I do that first. I said, not until what? You do that first.
Things are not working your way. Things are not going your way. Mm-hmm. Come before the altar of the Lord. Father, mm-hmm. where have I missed it? Be humble. Lord, where have I missed it? And if God told you this, 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 why don't you go and repent? And then once you've done your repentance, guess what? Leave it. And then watch. If the healing didn't come, then rise up again and say, Lord, I know you heard me. Wherever this is coming from, I return it back to sender. But you don't return arrow back to sender if the arrow came as a result of your foolishness. God is not going to hear it. That is what I do. And that's what I encourage everybody to do. And that's because that's what I saw David do. Before anything, he goes to the Lord first. Peradventure, Lord, because it is better to fall into the hand of the Lord than to fall into the hand of man. Man, including me, I won't forgive you. And that's the honest truth, because I'm a man. But God, there is forgiveness. Now, except God now begins to work in my heart to forgive, you know, work in my heart to learn to be like Christ. Because if I don't be like Christ, then I can't reign with Christ. If my times are in his hand, then I must be like him. So walk like me. Think like me. Serve the Father like Jesus. He said he served the Father. He forgave. Because indeed his times are in his hand. God decreed how the soul would die. God decreed the hour. And that's why when the hour came, he said, Father, Father, into what? Thy hand. Why not into the heart? And why not into the nose of God? Or maybe the ear of God. Probably the eye of God. But he said, Father, unto thy hand I commit. Why hand? Because his times are in his hand. Now you see why Jesus Christ said, you have been engraven in his hand. So brethren, can you please let God be God? Amen. Can you please let God have his way? Amen. Knowing that your times are in his hand. I pray this morning that you get encouraged. Amen. I pray this morning that you find peace. Even in your situation, in your pain. Know fully well that I will not die. But I will live to declare the work of the Lord. Things are not working the way you planned it. Your times are in his hand. Because even if you try to use gimmicks, it's still going to fail at the end of the day. So let God just let it. Enough of Father, my will. Oh God, my will. Even though we don't say it, but that's what we do. Father, my will, not your will. But even though we are saying, Father, not my will, but your will. But in the other part, you know, the other part of our heart, you know, we don't mean it that way. Because indeed, if we mean it that way, we will always be in church. If we mean it that way, that Father, not my will, your will. Even when I don't have money to buy gas, I'm going to call one of the sisters or one of the brothers, call the pastor. Please, I want to be in church. I don't have gas. And watch if we won't come get you. Because we've come to understand that not my will. But what? Your will. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, be encouraged this morning. This is just the part one. This is just the part one. But I say in conclusion, find me the scripture that says, I think I quoted it, but I didn't give you the scripture, that you are in his hand and no man can pluck you out. I know it's in the book of John. Somebody find me the scripture. Find me the scripture. Find me the scripture.
John 10:28.
Put it on the board for me. John 10:28. I know it's in John. John 10:28.
I think it's Isaiah 49:16.
Isaiah also.
Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands.
Hallelujah. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Uh-huh.
Sure.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of the
out of my hand.
Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands.
Uh-huh.
And your dust shall continually be.
And your what? Your glasses is not working.
My phone is just
messing. Isaiah what?
Isaiah 49:16.
Isaiah 49:16. Let's see. Please write it down. John 10:28 and Isaiah 49:16.
Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands.
Uh-huh.
Thy words are continually before me.
Mm. Behold, I have graven thee at the palms of my... Now, look at it. God spoke to you in the old economy. God speaks to you in the new economy. What do you want? Say to your neighbor, what do you want? No, no, no. Point to your neighbor, ask, what do you want?
What do you want?
I didn't say you should say with as if they are your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I said point to that and ask them, supposed to, what do you want?
What do you want?
Exactly. What do you want? He just told you, you just read it. You were engraving in his palm. So what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Greed. The greed. That is our problem. Not just greedy of money. You know, we can be greedy of anything. But I said to you, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do this week? Is it in your life? What do you want? You want answer in your life? In your marriage? In your career? In your children? In your academics? In your works? In your business? In your calling? In the ministry? Ask God to direct you by his mighty hand. Stop directing yourself because your times are in his hand. May the Lord bless you this morning. May the Lord bless you this morning. That is part one. We'll finish part two. I make it part two because, like I said, I don't want to take much time today. Amen?
Amen.
So finish the rest part. There's still more to this lesson. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Can we bring down the communion?